good morning. Apologize for being a few minutes late, a little jet lag, but that's what I'll blame it on anyway. We did get back, had a great trip to Honduras at Good Shepherd Children's Home. Looking forward to sharing a lot of that with you next Sunday. That's what our service will be, so just make sure you come, and we'll try to share all about our trip. That we had a lot of eventful things and a lot of good memories were made. Checked up on several of the kids that some of our members here sponsor, and they're doing very well and have sent messages back that we'll relay those back to their sponsors here. So it was a great trip. We got home, I guess, this morning around 1 o'clock. So it's good to be home. We didn't have any travel issues, which a lot of people are having these days. So fortunate we got back without any travel issues. So looking forward to sharing a lot of what God did there and how effective we were and as our service there. So we're going to be singing a lot about heaven today. When I picked these songs out 2 weeks ago, I thought, well, what's the easiest thing we could sing about without any practice? So we're going to need your help this morning. We're singing all about heaven this morning, so it never gets old singing about that. So these will all be songs that you know and familiar with, so we'll ask you to help us this morning. So we're going to stand and open our service with What a Day That Will Be. Join in with us.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. Face the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Pleasure to welcome you this morning. If we have any visitors, special welcome to you this morning. Greet each other as we sing, "The King is Coming."
Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me.
One more time.
Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, folks. We welcome you today to our service. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube and those listening by way of radio, but I'm glad you're here today. We are patiently waiting for the King because he is coming again, and that is our hope. That's the blessed hope that the Bible talks about. So one day we will see him. I'll be preaching today on patience, something we all need, something we need to work on, and we'll be talking about that today. From the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5 is where I'll be preaching from today. So may we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for this time that you've given to us. And Lord, we want to honor you today in our worship. We ask today that we'd open our hearts to you and that our worship to you today would be out of a heart of love for you. And Lord, we do look to you and we look forward to the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the mission trip, and for their work this week. We thank you that you brought them home safely. And we just pray, God, that you would bless their efforts there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I have to say I didn't miss having beans for breakfast this morning. But I don't know if Carrie and Brandon did, but I didn't miss that this morning. The biggest announcement we have for this week is the mobile distribution of food. That'll be Friday from 10 to 12. I need at least 10 volunteers from our church. So if you can help with that, help distribute the food and help with some of the administrative things that they ask us to do, take some information down from each one, each person in line. They have the forms and everything for that. If you could see me after church, we need at least 10 volunteers if we can get those to help here on Friday. You can be here around 9 o'clock, and they'll give us instructions, and it goes from 10 to 12. I think last month was very well attended by a lot of folks, so I don't have the numbers yet. I know the first month we did it, they delivered over 5,000 pounds of food. So it was more last month, and I'm sure it'll be more this month as more people find out about it. So Second Harvest has asked us for volunteers, so if you can do that, just see me after church. All right, we're going to continue with our theme, singing about heaven, when the roll is called up yonder and in the sweet by and by. You join in as we sing this morning.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dead. it's over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that shore, the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you for joining with us. We'd ask that you stand and sing with us as we sing When We All Get to Heaven, and then we'll let you sit on the second one. Join in with us as we stand together, if you're able to stand and join in with us. When we all get to heaven.
Victory.
next medley of songs is entitled Going Home, and that's indeed what we're looking forward to is going home to heaven. Many of them you'll remember. You join in with us as we sing this morning. I'll Fly Away. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we attempt to just give you the honor and glory and praise you deserve, I thank you for the hope of heaven, the assurance of heaven, and the presence that we have with you for eternity there. Lord, we praise God for the opportunity to go home. We thank you for the hope of heaven, and we know that that's where you are, and that's the home you've prepared for us. We pray that you would take the worship we provided this morning. I pray that it would honor you. I pray that you were glorified. Open our hearts as we receive your word this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. The scripture I want to read today is Galatians 5 and 22, 23. These verses I'm going to read are talking about the fruit, singular fruit of the Spirit. So when you get saved, this is what you get, okay? These are the virtues, these are the attitudes. This is a change that the gospel makes in our life. You see, God is the source of the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is the example of how we're to live the fruit of the Spirit and how it's deposited in your life, in my life, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when you get saved. So verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And what that means is Paul could have said a whole lot more about virtues and attitudes and everything that the Holy Spirit creates in us, but he only named these. The word for long-suffering is the word patience. That's the word that we use when we talk about, when the Bible talks about long-suffering. I don't know about you, but the way I approach the Bible is this way. I want to look at the Bible and read the Bible and find the truth of God's Word, how it applies to my life. Now, another thing I know is this. I need all of this that the fruit of the Spirit is. You know, I need more love. I need more kindness. Today, I'm talking about patience. And I don't think it's a coincidence when you see how the Word of God is put together here. You have love, joy, peace. And next to peace, you have long-suffering. And the long-suffering there, that's patience. And I think, you know, if we have love, joy, peace, then we should have patience also with that. And so all these things here that's mentioned, they really overlap. Like I said, it is a gift of the gospel to us. We talk about how the gospel can change our life. We talk about how the gospel creates a new person within us. That is the power of the gospel. Now, to live this out, what the Bible is talking about when it talks about love, joy, kindness, you know, patience, all that, we can't live that on our own. That's something that in our humanness we cannot do. Now, in the verses prior to verse 22, what Paul does is he talks about our humanness, and he talks about all those bad things, you know, that we can get caught up in and all the mistakes that we can make. But here he says, here's where you want to be. You want to be right here where the Spirit of God is controlling your life, where we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that patience comes to us when we endure trials. That's one way the word patience is used, to be able to endure trials, to endure suffering, to endure sickness, to have patience, you know, during those things. But another way, and particularly here in this verse, what it's talking about is patience with people. When you're wronged, when someone says something against you that's not true, when you're in a situation where something very hurtful has been said about you, then the patience to endure those things is what the Bible is talking about here. So it's used in both ways in the Bible. Patience in this context is really handling anger slowly. Proverbs 16:32 says this, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So what this verse is speaking of is speaking against the idea of revenge. It's speaking against the idea of bitterness. It's speaking against the idea of any retaliation. What are we to do? What do we do with these things in life that come our way? We're to be patient. And so how can we do that? The only way we can do that is through the power of the gospel, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is living within us. Now, like I said, our great source for patience is God. Our great example is Christ. Exodus 34:5 tells us that one of the characteristics of God is that He is patient. And I think about that and I look back on my life. I think about how patient He's been with me. All the stuff in my life and all the things, you know, all the decisions and all the places. And you know, I think at times, you know, God probably been impatient with me, but yet His patience endures. And when you think about that, you think about the patience of God today. You see, one reason He hasn't returned yet is because of His patience. He's wanting people to come to Him. He's wanting more people to be saved. He's wanting more people to know the power of the gospel. And see, that is His patience. And we look around, we think, you know, well, all the stuff going on, well, Lord, how long is it going to be? Well, in His time, He will come. But we see in His patience, we see His love, we see His mercy and His grace demonstrated to us. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived in a world where we didn't need to have patience? But folks, we're not there. We live in a broken world. And I'm telling you, we need patience. We really do. And the reason I wanted to talk about this virtue today is one reason I need it in my life. I know, you know, like I said, when I go to the Bible and read the Bible, I want the Bible to help me and what I'm going through. And you know what I've found in life is this, when you go through particularly certain problem that I'd been going through, I wanted to really take a hold of that and handle it in my own way. And I really prayed for patience. And you know what happened? The situation got worse. I mean, it really, really didn't get any better. Now, I don't know about how it works with you or not, but in coming through that, here's what I found. I found that through that God taught me patience. And really, that's how it works. I don't know if you all familiar with the, I think a lot of you are familiar with the Peanut cartoons, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy and all that. Well, one of those cartoons, Lucy was down by her bedside praying. And she was praying to the Lord, and she wanted more patience. She said, Lord, give me more patience, give me more understanding. And about that time, Linus walked in. And so she got up. And Linus said, what are you doing? She said, well, I was praying to God for more patience and more understanding, but I quit. And I think that's what we do a lot of times. You know, we just, you know, we give up on it. We want patience, and we pray for patience, and we want it now. We want it right now. But that's really not the way that it works many times. So whatever it is, you know, that we're dealing with and it, that comes our way, we just need to look to God and trust to God with that. There are four ways that I've found that our patience is going to be tested. You know, it's easy to appear to be patient, to be at peace, be calm when everything's going great. But what about when it doesn't go great? What about with all the problems and all the stuff and everything is falling apart? You know, can we be patient then? Can we wait on God for the answer? Can we trust God for the answer that He's going to give? And see, a lot of times His answer is not going to come on our timetable. A lot of times it's not going to be worked out on our timetable. So during those times, can we be patient? Well, interruptions is one way that our patience is tested. I think that's the first test. This, you know, how we handle the interruptions of life. Another way would be inconveniences, those things that bother us, those things that get under our skin. I don't know if you've noticed this, about the time you sit down to eat supper, you're going to get a phone call and they won't extend your warranty on your car. You don't even own that car anymore, but they want to extend it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, those interruptions that come our way, and so all that. Have you tried to go to Knoxville any day on the interstate and get up to the split? Well, I guarantee you're probably going to be in a traffic jam for a while. So all that stuff comes our way, but it, you know, it kind of tastes our patience. Numbers, in another way, I think, is the irritations of life that come our way, those little things that really bug us. In Numbers chapter 20, Moses he really was a patient man. I mean, you think about leading the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years and all that, and his patience during the time in Egypt and his 40 years, you know, when he was in with his father-in-law there. And you think about his patience. But there came a time with the children of Israel when his patience ran out. They were needing water. They're in the wilderness. And God told Moses, he said, Moses, what I want you to do, I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come forth. Well, the people were complaining and griping, and, you know, they wanted a new leader, and they wanted somebody else to show them where the water was and all that kind of stuff. And the Bible says that Moses took his rod, and he struck, he hit the rock, and water came forth. But because of his impatience, you know what the result was? Moses did not get to enter in to the promised land. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 19:2 that impatience will get us into trouble. That it'll create more problems for us when we get impatient. I didn't know this, but in doing my research for this sermon today, I ran across this. I didn't know that there was a new disease that researchers have come up with. You know the name of that disease? Hurry sickness. I don't know if you've been diagnosed with it or maybe heard about it or not, but I didn't even know about it. But that's a new illness that they've come up with. And here's what they've determined by hurry sickness, that 90% of the heart attack victims have this hurry sickness personality. See, we get impatient a lot of times. God works on His own timetable. God works on His schedule. The answer to prayer is going to come in God's time. But see, we're so impatient about so many things. So, like I said, this is something that comes through the power of the gospel of Christ. Patience is not something that we can work up on our own. It's not. It's not found in a pill. It's not found in some formula. It's not found in some habit. But it's found through the power and the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. And that's where this patience really comes from. So, how can we become more patient? Well, there are four ways. Four ways we can develop our patience. Number one is we've got to look at a different perspective. We've got to look at God's perspective to what is going on. The book of Proverbs tells us this about that kind of wisdom. Proverbs 19:11 says that a man's wisdom gives him patience. And so we know that wisdom comes from God. So when we look at life from God's viewpoint, and that's what we're talking about here, to have patience with the problem or situation that you're dealing with, the person that you're dealing with, whatever it is, then we've got to have a different perspective. Now, when we look at things from God's viewpoint, here's what we know, that we're all human. I mean, we all deal with things that we can't control. And we all make mistakes. And we all, you know, sometimes we get out of shape. Number two, we know this, that nobody's perfect. Nobody is. Third thing we know is that God is in control. So that's what comes from God's perspective. We have those understanding that we're not perfect, that God's in control, that we all make mistakes, that we all get impatient, and those type things. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says this, that a man's steps are directed by the Lord. That means that there's going to be some divine delays in your schedule. That means there's going to be some heavenly interruptions into the way you plan your day, because our steps are ordered by the Lord. Some of those things are going to come our way to teach us patience. Some of those things are going to come our way to create more love in us, more kindness. Those top things that these verses are talking about. Well, all through the Bible, what God does is He equates patience with maturity. Proverbs 14:29, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays his folly. So, what is patience? It's the ability to wait. You know, when you read and listen to all these financial experts, what they talk about in their finances is delayed gratification. That means you kind of, you know, you save your money and wait, and when you afford whatever, then, you know, go for it, whatever. But they talk about that. But again, you know, it just underscores the point. You know, we get impatient about things, but God wants us to be patient. Another way we develop our patience is through humor. I think we got to have a sense of humor. I couldn't remember all this, but I want to share this with you. I thought this was kind of humorous. This is taken from, do you all remember the yearbook that would come out with the Encyclopedia Britannica? We used to get that every year. Of course, it's, you know, outdated now and all that. This is taken from 1982 yearbook. I couldn't remember all this, so I'm going to have to kind of glance at this to get it to you. Let's talk about a man by the name of Brian Hess. And this happened to him in July 1982. And you find this heading in the yearbook on strange and unusual events. Now, see if you can identify with old Brian here. When he was in his apartment in Utah, his apartment became flooded because of a broken pipe that was, you know, in his ceiling there. The manager told him to go out and rent a vacuum cleaner. He did that. When he got in his car to go, he found out he had a flat tire. He changed it. He went back inside to phone a friend, and that's when telephones were on the wall. We didn't have cell phones and all that. When he did that, he got an electrical shock. And then what he did after that, he called his neighbor to help. His neighbor came over. His neighbor couldn't get in because of the flooding in the apartment, had warped the door. The neighbor had to kick the door in to get in. And then while he was on his way to get the stuff to repair his problem with the leak, when he went in the store, he came back out. Somebody had stolen his car. Now, this is all in one day. He had a ceremony he had to attend that night at Brigham Young University, and he had to take his rifle and bayonet. When he got into his car, he sat on his bayonet. Now, you think about that. But all that, when he came to a conclusion, here's what he said. He said, I begin to wonder if God wanted me dead, but he kept on missing. Now, that's just a humor story. But it's just a way for us to think, you know, that we all go through these things. And I think a sense of humor can help at times. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:30 that a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. And Proverbs 17:22, be cheerful because it keeps you healthy. You're probably familiar with Will Rogers. He was an American humorist, and he said this. Will said, I don't know any jokes. He said, I just watch the government and report the facts. Now, that's a pretty good way, I think, of looking at it. But another way to develop our patience is to deepen our love. Listen to what the Bible says. That great verse in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. Ephesians 4:2, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other because of your love. And then finally, the way we can develop our patience is to depend upon the Lord. And this is the most important. You see, what Galatians 5 is telling us is this. Patience is not willpower. Patience is not reading a self-help book. patience is not wearing a mask and pretending that everything's okay when it's not. That's not patience. Patience is the person of Christ in your life. Patience is the power of the gospel. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is walking in the Spirit, walking in the control of the Spirit of God. God's patience is the inner fruit of the Spirit in our life, and it comes from God. Someone said it this way, that patience really is a form of faith. It is faith that says this, I trust God. I believe that God is bigger than my problem, and I believe that God has His hand in these irritations, and that He can use them in my life for good. And so the question is not, why did this happen? But the question is, what is God teaching me? What does God want to do in my life in teaching me patience? Noah had to wait 120 years before the flood. Now think about how much patience he had. Think about the message that he preached for 120 years. It's going to rain. Well, see, before that time, they didn't know what rain was. What's rain? Think about the patience that he had with the people. I mean, he preached and preached and preached for 120 years, and at the end of it, you know who was saved? Only him and his family. Abraham waited 100 years to have a son. That took patience. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness. Spent another 40 years leading the children of Israel, you know, across the wilderness to the promised land. That's a long time before he got the promised land. But you know, the hardest kind of patience to have is this. It's waiting on God for the answer when we're not patient. We're wanting God to show us now. We're wanting an answer to come now. We want to see it now. And we're in a hurry, but see, here's what we've got to know. God's not in a hurry. But we are many times. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of John, about two sisters, Mary and Martha, who came to Jesus. They said, Jesus, the one you loved, is sick. You know who that was? That was their brother, Lazarus. Jesus waited 2 days to go to Bethany. The Bible tells us that when Jesus got to Bethany, his friend Lazarus was dead. And so Mary and Martha said, you know, well, you know, why didn't you come then? You know, he could have gotten there a lot earlier. Do you know what he did? He performed a miracle and he raised Lazarus back to life. Now, there's a lot of truth in that story, but here's one thing we need to get from that story. Here's the point. Jesus is never late. Jesus is always on time. To them, he was late. But in his time, he was right on schedule. He was right on time. Folks, I want you to know, God's never late. He's always on time. God knows. He knows where you are, and He knows what the situation is. Psalm 37:7 says this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And that chapter in Psalm, you know what the psalmist had been talking about before that verse? Putting our trust in Him. Putting our faith in Him, letting Him know the desire of our heart, and then we wait patiently on Him. Now let me bring this to a close. Why should we be patient? We should be patient because God is patient. I didn't get saved the first time I felt conviction. You may have. You may have come to Christ the first time you heard the gospel. I didn't do that. But you know what? He was patient with me. He's patient with you. God's waiting. But here's the warning from the Bible. There's going to come a day when his patience is going to run out. Don't wait. Don't let that happen. If you need to make that commitment to Christ, come to him today. And then for us as believers, let's really let the gospel work in our life. That is the power of Christ that changes us. That's the power of Christ that gives us love, joy, peace, patience. That comes from the Lord Jesus. And let's trust him to change our lives in that way. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you that you're a patient God. One of the characteristics we read about when the Bible talks about your character is that you are long-suffering. That means that you're patient. Lord, we thank you for your patience. Your patience has brought us together again for another opportunity for those to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And I pray today that they would take advantage of that invitation. I pray that they would take advantage of the opportunity today of your patience, of your grace, of your love, of your mercy. Lord, we need patience because we do live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We need your help. God, help us in this area of our life. Because we know with your peace, we can have patience. And where there's an absence of peace, regardless of what the situation is, there's an absence of patience. But Lord, we know that peace comes from you. Peace comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not willpower. It's not something we can work up, but it comes from you. So, Lord, we pray for these attitudes and for these virtues to be demonstrated in the fruit of the Spirit in our life through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am.
Go this week in God's love and his grace, this his, you know, practice patience, the fruit of the Spirit. It's there for us. And that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changes us. It changes who we are. And it's only through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way. And that's where our patience, peace, joy, long-suffering, that's where it all comes from. It comes from him. And we thank him for it. God bless you, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Pastor. As we heard about patience this morning, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Let's close with this morning.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King.
Thank you. You're dismissed.